Welcome to the Internal Divinity Show with thought leader Linda Lamp, uplifting and illuminating the divine in your life. In this confusing and clouded world, sometimes we lose sight of our blessings and the light we carry inside us. In the next hour, Linda will show you the divinity that you have within you and give you the tools you need to let it shine forth. Become a force for good. Strengthen your inner divinity and help create the heaven on earth we all desire. The Internal Divinity Show starts now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Linda Lamp, and you're watching or listening to the Internal Divinity Show, uplifting and illuminating the divine in your life on the Transformation Network. Stay with us for the next hour, and let me help you experience a new way to look at life and the world. Each month on the second Tuesday, I'll share the secrets of life and I'll answer your questions about how to see and experience more divinity in your own personal world. This is a call-in show. I'm here to support you. And if you'd like to call in, the studio number is 1-800-930-2819. My wonderful producer, Jonathan, will assist you. And be sure you give him a way to reach back to you so that I can send you a digital copy of my book, Walking Through Your Walls. Or if you prefer a hardback or paperback copy, I'm happy to send that to you at no cost if you're willing to pay the postage. So thank you for joining me today. I'm so happy to be here with you. Last month, during episode 5 of this program, we undertook the question, how do we become a force for good? And I'm curious if anyone out there would like to share their experience over the last month, if anyone noticed when they were being a force for good, and what was that like? If you'd like to share, please do call in. Without any callers, we'll grapple some of the issues of truth and trust in this episode. Many questions have come in about the subjects of truth, trust, and honesty. Here are a few of them. How can we know what's true? Often the truth can differ from what's commonly believed. What do we do then? What is reality? What is the truth of reality? How do we overcome these obstacles and live truly and honest lives? How do we deconstruct the pattern behavior we've learned over the years? What happens when our truths conflict with others? How do we trust people who lie to us? How often do we lie to ourselves? And what does it mean when we lie to ourselves? So let's dig right in. I'm going to leave it to Jonathan to interrupt us if somebody calls in. So how do we know what's true? How can we know what's true is an excellent question. Because we are all one and made from the same thinking material, we have access to all the universe's wisdom. All we need to do is tap into the wealth of resources ourselves. Most of us need to learn how to accomplish this, however. It is intentional and a means of control that we are ignorant of our divine nature. The lack of truth, which we live in, is systemic. Society has been fashioned over time to keep us ignorant of our true nature and capability. And so for those of you who may be new to the program, our true nature is that we are individuated aspects of divinity, each and every one of us, and that we all share the same soul purpose when we come here. We all choose to come here into form, into this thing I like to call this play of life, and we all have the same soul purpose, and that's to be faith, love, and grace to those around us through the acts of service. But we're not taught that. We're not taught that when we're little. We aren't taught that as we get older. And it's only those of us who have sought on the path of enlightenment who understand that this is the reason why we're all here. While we all have the same soul purpose, we all also have our own completely unique energetic signature. And so how we manifest our faith, love, and grace through service is of our choosing. And that's what makes this life so amazing and wonderful. So imagine a society, what society would be like if everyone on earth understood their divine purpose, their divine nature. We would not be an easily controlled or manipulated bunch. We would not be suitable prey for those wishing to be dominant over us and control us. So wouldn't it be divine if we were all to awaken with no need to dominate or exert our power over others? And I believe this is the world we've set out to create, even though we're not currently experiencing it. And so that answer is yes, it will be divine when power and control over each other cease. However, in this transition that we're living through right now, there are still those wanting control over the rest of us for their own personal gain. It's only when you awaken to your personal divinity, your individual connection to source and to the all that is, that you realize the abundance that nature is here to provide you. At that point, you cease to be a competitor and you become a creator, independent of the customary laws of commerce. If you've learned to listen to the clues of your gut brain and what your gut brain will tell you, you can often discern when someone is lying to you. Your internal knowing is always there if you learn to tap into it. Now, without the help from your gut brain, detecting lies is often difficult because people's behaviors when lying can vary greatly. And there are several indicators that suggest that when someone, there are several indicators that suggest when someone is lying or not telling the truth. But also please note as we go through these, that these are signs that they're not necessarily definitive proof of lying. They merely indicate the possibility and should be used as a part of a broader evaluation of the situation and in tandem with what your gut tells you, because your gut is never wrong. So inconsistencies in the story. If a person tells a story that changes or contradicts itself over time, this can be a fairly good sign of some level of dishonesty going on. Body language will tell you. Some people can show physical signs that they're lying, such as an inability to make eye contact, fidgeting, physical movements, touching their face frequently while they're talking, or demonstrating unnatural body movements like twitching. However, it's also important to note that these signs can also be indications of nervousness or discomfort, not necessarily lying. And again, tuning into your gut brain will provide you really good guidance. So just a side note, this is kind of interesting. Often when a person lies, their nose will get red, or they'll rub it, or it will run, maybe itching. The story of Pinocchio is actually based on these body traits. Our nose doesn't necessarily get bigger, but it does when you think about the reason your nose gets red is blood is rushing into those vessels, and that does enlarge it a bit. So it's not like in the movie where it goes whoop like that, but it does get a tiny, measurably bit bigger just by becoming engorged with blood, which is what makes it red. So emotional inconsistencies. If someone's emotions don't match what they're saying, this will usually tip your gut brain off right away. You'll sense it. This could be a sign that they're not telling the truth. For example, smiling or being nonchalant while describing something really tragic. At the same time, a person could be in shock or they may not be able to process their emotions, so it's best not to rush to judgment either. Again, unless your gut really tells you that the person is not being honest. Overly complex details can also be a sign. Sometimes when people lie, they provide more information than necessary, or overly complex details or embellishments to make their story seem more believable. So many times this approach backfires, especially when questions about specific details, the story will fall apart or can be conflicting. And that will be a big telltale factor. Response time. It might take longer for someone to respond if they're lying because they need time to create the story, especially if the lie is complicated or detailed, or if they're caught off guard and have to come up with something quickly. And defensiveness. If a person becomes overly defensive or hostile when questioned, this can also be a sign that they're lying or at a minimum trying to hide something. And then the use of qualifying language, using phrases like to be honest or in truth or frankly, they may be an attempt to reinforce the honesty of a statement, but can sometimes also indicate that a lie is happening. And the avoidance of direct answers. If someone avoids answering questions directly or changes the subject frequently, this could indicate that they're not telling the truth or they're trying to hide something. And despite these potential indicators, it's important to note that people can also show behaviors for various reasons unrelated to dishonesty. So it's possible for people to lie without showing any signs as well. Some individuals, particularly those who lie frequently or are very practiced, can be challenging to catch. The context and relationship with the person that you have, your relationship with that person, should always get considered when you're evaluating whether you think they're being honest or not. And if you feel the need for clarification on a person's truthfulness, then open, honest, respectful communication is the best approach. Being accusatory will only serve to alienate the other person. You're listening to The Internal Divinity Show or watching The Internal Divinity Show with Linda Lamp on Transformation Network. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll speak with our callers, if there are any, and then we'll pick up where we left off. Remember, if you'd like to call into the studio, the number is 1-800-930-2819. If you'd prefer to text, that number is 1-907-351-3003. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you lost sight of who you truly are? Thought leader Linda Lamp is here to help. She illuminates the divine within and walks you through the walls of illusion that hide the truth about your true nature. With her help, you can realize your true self, become a force for good, and create heaven on earth. The Internal Divinity Show, uplifting and illuminating the divine in your life. Second Tuesday of every month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Cafe of Delight, conversations that enlighten and inspire with me, your host, Gail West. Tune into TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific. We are at the precipice of one of the most exciting evolutions in human history. On Cafe of Delights, you will hear from those that are actively working at the edges of local, regional, and global transformation. For more information on hope for a new reality, visit Gail West at SuccessWithSoul.com.
Join Dr. Ellie Zarabian, host of From Chaos to Connection, Growing from Pain to Community, every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can impact the world in the most powerful way. Whatever your spiritual background or cultural heritage, you can transform pain and trauma into community and well-being. On Chaos to Connection, Dr. Ellie helps you identify what you need to make progress on your life's journey. Visit CenterOnPeace.com.
We're back on the Transformation Talk Network, and I am your host, Linda Lamp, and this is the show Internal Divinity. Please feel free to call in at any time. The studio phone is 1-800-930-2819, or if you'd prefer to text, you can text me here at 1-907-351-3003. As we get into the next segment, if you can relate to what I'm talking about, or if you have a story you'd like to share, have a question, please call in. Learning from each other is how we'll get through this thing I call life, and or we call life. And my gift for you making the show better will be a digital copy of my book. So we don't have any callers at the moment. And I wanted to return to the conversation about ourselves and our intuition and our gut wisdom. When you learn to connect with your internal guidance system, you will instantly know when someone is less than honest and transparent with you. There will be no question. This ability can be developed and nurtured, but it requires relinquishing the ego's control over every thought and move. Understanding the role our egos play in our daily lives is fundamental to developing good communication skills. So the next question was, often the truth can differ from what is commonly believed. What do we do then? So when I was little, I knew I had come here to do something, and I understood my gift. My life was a gift to do with what I chose, and that I would fulfill my agreed mission. I always spoke the truth, but I got repeatedly told that I either didn't know what I was talking about or that I was wrong. And I often got accused of lying. And my suggestions were outside of what folks believed, and no one wanted to hear them. I struggle with that problem to this day. People don't believe what I say and persist in believing things that only contribute to their great unhappiness. Our comfort is more important to us than the truth or living of real lives, right? Change is frightening. And when we embrace truth and honesty, a lot tends to change around us. And since most people around us are not leading honest, transparent lives, many times what happens is people will report that their entire lives fall apart when they embraced honesty and truthfulness. They will all go on to say that they wouldn't have it any other way, but it's the transition that's difficult to live through. And so most people will avoid it. So this question about the truth differing from what's commonly believed is especially timely right now in America. So we have one group of people believing one truth, that the election got stolen, that a president is above the law, that classified documents aren't all that important, that espionage doesn't matter, and that a person with criminal charges should be able to be president. And we have a whole different set of people who are operating from a completely different truth. Their truth is that the rule of law matters and is applied to all people equally. So who's right? How do we know who's right? Well, one thing that occurs to me, remember the earlier example I gave of overly complex details. Sometimes when people lie, they provide more information than necessary, or overly complex details or embellishments to make their story seem more believable. So this complexity is one thing that stands out to me in assessing the truth of America right now. There are all these claims being made of wrongdoing by the liberals. I have no idea why. All the phones that we don't want are going off at the moment. So sorry about that. So all these wrongdoings about what the liberals are supposedly doing. And yet, all the jail time, all the prison time, all the convictions, all the sentences against the perpetrators of the insurrection, which is this earlier group I just referred to, not the liberals. The picture the former president and supporters are keep painting is that they're right when court after court after court rules that they've been wrong, that they're wrong. And Justice Department ends up issuing indictments over many things that they believe have been done wrong against the law. And there was only a small handful of people outside the Miami courthouse today. It happened actually today. But it's the perfect example of this kind of question where you have opposing beliefs. How do you know who's right? So in this case, this collective dishonesty has actually created what I call a self-recharging story loop from which they cannot break free. If any one of them abandons this story, this house of cards that they've built will crumble. And people are starting to do that. There have been people even today that have really thrown the situation under the bus. They're desperate to hang on to the power that they've basically stolen through gerrymandering, lying, cheating, and stealing. It's how they roll. And it's what they think is that if enough of them can get into power, that they can rule America this way. So we're going to see how this all plays out. It's one of the biggest tests of honesty and truthfulness America may have ever had to face. And we all have to face it because we're all living here. So none of them understand that the universe answers to the calls for love and peace and harmony and equality. And those operating solely from a place of competition and greed cannot be aligned with the universe, nor will they receive any aid from the heavens. Theirs is not God's will. So this is why I'm so confident that love will become the operating force on this planet before too much longer. It's our time to shine, and I have faith that we will. But in the meantime, there is a fitting phrase. We can agree to disagree. When perceptions vary so greatly, finding our way to an agreement or even a shared belief can be impossible. One of the other questions that got asked was, what is reality? And the subject of reality is quite a deep topic. What's real for me isn't what's real for you. And while we can have a shared experience, we each have our own unique encounter. I'll tell you a little story. I met my first husband over a discussion of reality. We were sitting at a bar, in a bar at tables next to each other. I was with three other guys. I worked in theater, and this was after a theater show, and we were commiserating about our work situation. And there was a table of four men sitting next to us. And I'd been eavesdropping on their conversations, which I won't get into why. There's a funny story about that, but it's not relevant to this. At one point, one of these men says the following. He says, but he was talking about his boss. And he says, but they're not in touch with reality. And the guy that I would end up marrying a year later said, just because they're not in touch with your reality doesn't mean they're not in touch with reality. And it's funny because I really fell in love in that moment. I was so enchanted to meet someone who understood reality at that level. And so at that point, I actually ended up flirting with this guy. So, and as I said, we ended up married a year later. I'd always known that reality is what reality is because of my memories of how I came to be here. I've always understood the level of reality at a quantum physics level, not even knowing that that's what it would be called. But few around me have ever understood. And over time, I learned just not to talk about it. You see, we are each the creator of our experience. And when you understand things from a quantum physics viewpoint, there isn't anything out here. Everything out here is really a reflection of our internal being. What we see, we filter through our experience, history, and expectations. I'm Linda Lamp, and you're watching or listening to the Internal Divinity Show on Transformation Network. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about truth and honesty and reality. If you want to call in, the number is 1-800-930-2819, or you can text to 1-907-351-3003. I did get a phone call to that number, so I'm not going to answer the phone during the show, but I can answer a text during the show, or I can at least read a text. So we'll be back.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skip!
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com. A quick tip from Jason and Patricia at the Ecosystem Approach Show. This is a way to improve your long-term relationships. As you go through life with your partner, the hurts, resentments, and conflicts are energies that build up. Your relationship holds on to these energies, and the relationship feels dull, boring, and unattractive. The love you felt originally starts to break down.
Do this. Say to yourself, I direct all my resources in all dimensions to eliminate. Name a hurt or resentment that you've had recently. Maybe it's something you're angry about. Take a breath and blow the hurt, anger, resentment into the processor shown behind us. keep doing it.
If you want to hear about this topic, go to our website, theecosystemapproach.org, and under the radio tab, search for Long-Term Marriage, How to Excel Over Time.
Listen to all of our shows because we teach you how to apply energy techniques for everyday life in ways that are practical and useful.
See you Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific or find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
You can't just fix yourself on the outside and expect the inside to follow. Whether you're 5 or 85, healthy living can begin whenever you decide you want a better life. Tune into Keeping Up with Barbara Scheidegger every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn about implementing a daily routine and finding a balance to improve your life. Learn to live agelessly. Go to BarbaraScheidegger.com. That's Barbara, S-C-H-E-I-D-E-G-G-E-R.com.
We're back on the Internal Divinity Show with Linda Lamp on the Transformation Network. I'm here talking today about the roles of truth and honesty and the roles that they play in our lives. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call 1-800-930-2819 or text me at 1-907-351-3003. So we were talking about reality. And we know from science that the observer influences the outcome. We're actually creative beings. And when we cultivate our internal divinity, we can become those creative beings. We can operate outside the confines of competition and fears of lack and scarcity. The reality of life is that nature, the universe, the all that is, wants us to succeed, and it will shower us with riches if we will learn how to think and act in a certain way. I saw a movie years ago that documented a murder from multiple perspectives. I'm trying to remember the name. I did try to look it up, but you're probably familiar with the idea. We're each unique, and when asked to recount the same event, everyone will have a slightly different story. And sometimes it's a wildly different story. The reality of a situation is real for each of us, and yet different for each of us as well. Again, this is because we are the filters of the external world that we observe. Nothing in this world has any meaning other than the meaning we give it. It's all a reaction of the divine collective, and it's here to serve us. So I happened to stumble across a reading, or writing rather, from a friend of mine on Facebook, Amaya Gail Gregory. She's a great writer, and you can look her up and find her writings. She does a lot of posts for the public. So this is a quote or a post she made today, and I just want to read a portion of it because it ties right into the concept of what I'm trying to get to here. Consciousness, what we are made of, has no speed. There is no actual blip in time because there is no actual time or space. We are nothing more than the appearance of a shimmer of light. How cool is that? That we appear to exist is the mother of all miracles. That there is anything to call here, to name now, is unfathomable, inconceivable. We are living in the midst of nothing, appearing as everything, in the middle of a miracle that is not anything other than what we are. How's that for a definition of reality? So here are a few perspectives to consider when attempting to understand what reality is. We have empirical evidence. So from a scientific perspective, reality is often defined by what we can observe, measure, and test empirically. So the assumption is that the world operates under consistent laws of nature that can be discovered and understood. And of course, based on what I just read you, that's really not true. And we know that it's not true. And yet we also know that there's many people who believe it to be true, which in a sense makes it true. So we have perception. Our senses provide us with direct information about the world around us. However, our perception is limited and sometimes deceptive. So while it can give us valuable information about reality, it doesn't provide us with a complete picture. It's our varying perceptions that account for the differences in eyewitness accounts. Then there's consensus. So often we can agree on what constitutes reality through a shared consensus. If multiple people agree to something in the same way, this can be considered a part of a shared reality. For example, there is shared reality among those who believe the election was stolen. That is for them a shared reality. It's not a factual reality, however, and you can see the definition of reality can be really hard to pin down. There are philosophical perspectives about reality. So various philosophical traditions propose different interpretations of reality. For instance, in some forms of realism, reality is considered to exist independently of our perceptions or beliefs, that there is some kind of finite reality. Meanwhile, idealism points that reality is fundamentally mental or immaterial. And then, of course, there's religious and spiritual realities. Traditions have different views on what constitutes realities, often involving aspects such as deities, the afterlife, or spiritual realms. But sadly, many religious doctrines teach things that are widely outside reality, which has contributed over time to the confusion about our identity that we are experiencing now as a species. Religious and spiritual doctrines have not necessarily taught that we are individuated aspects of divinity. And finally, there's subjective reality. So some will argue that reality is a subjective construct shaped by our individual thoughts, experiences, and okay. This is the day, right? So this is an Amber Alert going off on my phone. Subjective constructs shaped by our individual thoughts, experiences, and consciousness. And this is likely the most accurate description of all of what reality is. Have you ever had an experience and then compared it with someone you shared the experience with, only to have them tell you a different story or see different things than you saw or heard? This happened to me once with my husband. We were driving on a winding mountain road, and there was a small rental car in front of us that looked to be packed with people. And as we followed them, the tires on the right pavement, on the right side, left the pavement and immediately dug into the soft dirt that was there. There was no shoulder and no guardrail in that spot. And so the driver then must have been cutting the wheel really hard to the left to try and get back up onto the road. Because what happened was the car popped back up onto the road, but then it also sort of swung into this U-turn and was suddenly headed straight on for us, head on. And then what I saw, as I watched their car spinning around, and then it lifted up. And it spun around again, so it was facing in the correct direction, and it got placed far enough away from us that we wouldn't run into it. Now, all of this happened in seconds, split seconds, maybe. The car then pulled over at the first pullout that it came to. And we were going to stop and make sure everyone was okay. I mean, we knew they were, because nothing had happened to their car. But we were pretty sure they were all shaken up. And we had water with us and thought, you know, we could offer them some water. But we also had to be somewhere by a certain time. And we figured that we needed to just keep going. So when my husband, who was driving, and I discussed what happened right after what had happened, we both agreed to the same exact vision. We saw the exact same and experienced the exact same thing. The moment where we believed we were going to hit this car head on, and then it somehow miraculously getting turned around again and also moved forward enough away from us that we never, my husband did hit the brakes, but we didn't have to jam on the brakes. But when I brought the miracle up again a few months later, my husband's memory had completely changed. And we no longer shared the same experience or memory of that event. He recalls the vehicle in front of us now going off to the road to the right and then coming back onto the road, but that it basically did its own little spin in a circle and just picked right up where it ended up spinning and went on. I suspect that his wiring, the aspect of his ego that takes care of us and keeps us safe, decided that the story was too unbelievable. His memory adapted to a more acceptable and believable version. So reality is in the eye of the beholder. That's what I like to say. So this is Transformation Talk Radio, or the new Transformation Network. And I'm Linda Lamp with the Internal Divinity Show. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. Stay tuned. If you'd like to call in and be ready to join us after the break, the number is 1-800-930-2819 or text us at 1-907-351-3003. We'd love to start the next segment with a caller.
Have you walled yourself in? Are you hiding from yourself and others? There are a lot of theories about what is wrong in the world. What few people talk about is self-love. Linda Lamp can help you reconnect with your soul's knowledge and aid you on your journey to wholeness. She helps you love yourself because the love of oneself is the most critical and fundamental love that exists. To find out more, visit lyndalamp.com. That's L-Y-N-D-A Lamp.
Living a life by design. It's the journey back to you and living 365 days of purpose with host Esther Graham. Tune in every second and fourth Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Discover that what is possible is already in you. God designed a phenomenal life for you. At Living a Life by Design, Esther helps you ignite the energy behind your personal journey. For more information, visit fddwomen.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
The Relevance of Now podcast has been created to assist you in remembering, embracing, embodying, and enjoying your true self, your essence, and your true power that is constantly expanding and unfolding. Within the Relevance of Now, you are stepping out of the requirements to be other than who you are as you remember and experience the uniquely beautiful facet of Creator that you are. For more information, visit williamlinville.com.
Do you feel stuck in a system that seems broken? Are you longing to have meaning in your life? Tune in to Banking on Burlesque, the propelling point of change with me, Lana Montrese, every fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Navigate into a world of sparkle, wonder, and a lifetime of magical change as you discover a way to heal that you never thought possible. For more information, visit LanaMontrese.com. That's LanaMontrese.com.
We're back on the Internal Divinity Show with Linda Lamp on Transformation Network. If you'd like to join the conversation or ask a question, the studio number is 1-800-930-2819, and you'll receive a free copy of my book. You'll also receive one if you text us at 1-907-351-3003. Now, if you'd like to contact me outside of this show, you can go to my website, lyndalamp.com, and remember that's LYNDALAMP.com. You can send me a message from there, or you can schedule a meeting. And if you visit my online store, which you can access there, or you can go directly to lyndalamp.shop, again, LYNDALAMP.shop, you'll find hardback and paperback and digital copies of my book. You'll also find private sessions and opportunities to become a sponsor if you'd like to support my work. Now, we were speaking about reality, and I closed the last segment with the statement that reality is in the eye of the beholder. That's what I like to say. And that is really what I believe to be true. So the next question, how do we overcome the obstacles of systemic dishonesty in society and live truly open, honest lives? So we live in a fundamentally dishonest society. So learning to live truly honest and open lives is going to be challenging. I have faith in us, and this is exactly where we are in the world. We are in a place of transition from living a lie to living the truth. That is what the whole woke movement is all about. So awakening to the truth of life, that we are all individuated aspects of divinity and creative beings here to be faith, love, and grace, is the first step. But instead of living in this way with this wisdom, most of us live lies of deception and dishonesty. And it's just the way it is. We don't think twice about it. Whatever lies we tell ourselves or to others keep us disconnected from the divine within. Divinity has no need to lie. So let's take a real quick look at the breakdown of the kinds of lies that we live with on a daily basis. And I hope I'm not offending anybody. I'm right here with you. I have found that I know that some of you think that you don't lie. And I think as we work our way through this list, you might be surprised, because dishonesty is really ingrained in our society. I can't remember if I've got this later or not, but the thought is just popping in my head right now, so I'll say it. Just think about, for example, how do you react when someone says, "How are you?" Rarely do we tell them the truth. Rarely. Now, whether that's to be polite, or we don't have time, or we don't have anything good to say, and we don't want to seem pessimistic, whatever the reason, it's a daily thing that many, 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 many of us go through, maybe even more than once in a day, when somebody says, "Hi, how are you?" And we say, "Oh, we're fine. Okay. Everything's great." So let's get into this list real quick, because we are running out of time. And I'd like to get through the examples of the different kinds of lies, just so you can be thinking about them till next month. And we can talk about this next month when we get back together. So white lies. These are often considered harmless or trivial lies, like the answer to the question, "How are you?" They're typically told often to avoid hurting someone's feelings or to maintain peace within the family or within a relationship. For example, one example might be of complimenting a family member's cooking, even though you didn't enjoy the meal. If we're trying to be impeccable with our word, this can be a challenging situation. And as I've been preparing for this show, I've been paying close attention to my behavior, and I don't have this mastered. Here's what I see, using the example of complimenting someone for the meal. Even if I didn't like the meal, I definitely want to express my gratitude for the meal and for their actions preparing the meal. So I'm appreciative, even if it was not to my taste buds. And in some way, I try to express that. I don't see what is gained by telling a person that it didn't taste good, other than to hurt their feelings. And that's not being divinity in form. At the same time, we want to be honorable. So it's best to find a way to express your gratitude or appreciation without lying. Another example might be what someone's wearing. This happens quite a bit. The other person clearly likes it and they're excited by it. You happen to think that it's not perhaps the most attractive, or maybe it's even ugly or makes them look fat. So your response to what they're wearing is again about you, right? That's how this is all working. When I speak, what I say is a reflection of me. And when you speak, what you say is a reflection of you. And so when we're giving feedback on what somebody looks like in this outfit that they're wanting us to compliment them for, whatever we say, it's a reflection of us, not them. And so we need to be as honest as we can without hurting feelings. So in that case, it's fine to say nothing if you can get away with saying nothing, or just pay a compliment, but do it without lying. I'm excited that you like it. You seem so happy wearing it. And a lot of times that's enough. They won't push you for more. If they do press you, just try and be kind and avoid that trap of getting into sharing a judgment that is really about you and not them. What matters is how you feel and what you think. And I'm just so happy you're happy. Or if you absolutely have to, this can be a very safe and neutral reply. It's not what I would choose for you, but that's me. Now you've completely owned it. And you add to that the other things I've suggested, like, I'm really happy you enjoy it. You look super happy in it. Remember, we're here to be in service to others. And that's to all others at all times. There are no exceptions. So finding a way to communicate honestly without judgment is really vital. So there can be a reverse danger here as well. So do be careful. Sometimes we think that the thing to do is to be brutally honest. That's a way just to be mean or cause pain. And that kind of behavior should be avoided at all costs, even if the person has been mean to you or hurt you in the past. We're here to be in service to one another. So everything we do should be done from a place within ourselves of faith, love, and grace. And you'll never make a mistake if you stay aligned in those kinds of qualities. So we are going to run out of time. So I'm going to abandon trying to get through the list. I think what I'll do here is see. There was a quote I wanted to share from you. There's an MD by the name of Bessel van der Kolk, who wrote a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And it's really a fascinating book about the relationship between the body, our cellular memory, and the way those cells and those memories can be carrying the traumas that we've experienced in this lifetime. And I don't know if he gets into other lifetimes, but I know for a fact that our bodies can be carrying the traumas of other lifetimes as well. And in this book, The Body Keeps the Score, Von der Kolk says, the worst lies are the lies we tell ourselves. You may have also seen that in a commercial on television about, I think, smoking. So as this next week comes, or next month actually passes, think about, watch the level of truthfulness in your own self and see, do you do tell white lies? And are there other kinds of lies, perhaps? And perhaps think about calling and sharing with us next month. So if you've had a situation that you'd like assistance with between now and then, please send me an email or call. I'm happy to help. I'm here to be in service to you to make your life better. We're all seeking peace. Peace is my mission, and peace and joy are our birthrights. So I've had a wonderful time with you today, and I hope you found the information that I've shared interesting and helpful. I'm Linda Lamp, and I want to thank you for your tuning in to the Internal Divinity Show on the Transformation Network. Please join me the second Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Alaska, and 2 p.m. Hawaii. Next month on July 11th, which will be our last show, we'll finish up this discussion. And then I also was tentatively planning a discussion about personal growth and how we handle the reaction of others as we incorporate this new wisdom into our lives. I hope to see you then. Until then, much love and namaste.
Thank you for joining in on the Internal Divinity Show. As we view our world through a new lens of understanding, we discover our inner light and power. When enough of us receive clarity about life, heaven will begin to show up. Come back next time on the second Tuesday of the month at 4 p.m. Pacific time for more inspiration and instruction on unleashing your inner deity. To learn more or to contact Linda, visit www.lindalamp.com. That's www.lindalamp.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.